Because I want to use Chumash and Navi, or Tanakh, to try to explain what's coming up in about a month from now, or the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. If someone asks you, what's the most sort of popular holiday in Chumash? In Chumash we talk about the Chagim a lot. Which holiday is mentioned the most and which is the least? Yeah. Pesach is the most. Why would you say it's the most? It's in the beginning of Shemot. It's like, you're right, it's the most. And which holiday would be the least? Sort of gave it away, yeah? What Shavuot is called in it's either a Chag HaKatzir. In what books is it talk about Shavuot? Is it in Sefer Shemot? Or is it Bakori? No, Bakori. Sefer Shemot. In the end of Mishpatim. Is it in Parsha Kitisa? Obviously, otherwise it's in the best. Remember the repeat it again with the Lord's Vashel? You remember Lord's Vashel Gibachalivimot twice. It's in Kitisa. That's two. Vayikra? In the Moadim, in Emor? It's there. Bamidbar with the Tzmidim. In Pinchas. Everyone knows that's what you daven in Musa. And in Dvarim, we had it in Rei a couple weeks ago. So it's relatively decent. Any other? Which one? Yeah, which one? By the way, what are the Chagim in Chumash? What's one group? The Shalosh Regalim is one group. And besides the Shalosh Regalim, what other holidays are there? There's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and which other one? Matter? If Rosh Chodesh a holiday, that's a good question. Let's leave that out for now. The holidays that we call, the once a year holidays. How's that? Any other ones? Why can't, is Shmini Atzeret one of the Shalosh Regalim? Why can't it be? Why can't Shmini Atzeret be one of the Shalosh Regalim? Because there's only three. If it was one of the Shalosh Regalim, it would be Arba, wouldn't be three. Yeah. So if we have time, we'll see that later on. What's it doing there? Have you learned Pazar Kashav, rings the bell? Pazar Kashav? Don't you remember, did you make a Shechianu, Shmini Atzeret? The whole thing in the Sukkah? Remember? Okay, well I want to get right to our topic. You can guess which holiday is the least mentioned. Because Yom Kippur is mentioned where? It's mentioned in Emor and Bamidbar and in Pinchas, but also in Achrei Mot. And also at the end of Tetzaveh. But Rosh Hashanah is only mentioned where? Where are the two places where all the holidays are all together? You remember that. In Parshat Emor, in Vayikra, and in... And where? And no, not in Pinchas. Know the difference between the two? And when you daven Musaf, now we'll get halacha l'maaseh. When you daven Musaf, whenever you daven Musaf, what do you quote from? And why do you quote from Pinchas? Remember the structure of Musaf? You have the first three brachot like everything. Then you say, "Mipnei chateinu," because of our sins, we're not in our land. And then you say that you wish God would bring us back to our land and do some miracle and create some machine that could bring people here from anywhere in the globe within 12 hours, would find the air, and we pray for some kind of miracle that God would bring us back to our land. And then what would we do? If we could. Then God would help us build the Mikdash and bring Korbanot, and then we quote what Korban we could bring if we only could come back to our land. And then we finish with the Bracha, and then we go to Kiddush. That's... Whenever we do that, we always quote from Parshat Pinchas. But it's also Rosh Chodesh, because that's... Parshat Pinchas is for the Gabbai. If what do you bring every day? What's the Korban you bring every day called? You know by heart. Korbani Lachmei Lishai. That's the Tamid. What do you bring on Shabbat? Two Kfasim. That's quoting from Pinchas. Then what do you bring every month on Rosh Chodesh? You bring a longer Korban. You know what you bring? You know by heart. How many parim? Parim v'ed, you know by heart. Parim v'ed bakar, ayel, vasim, shiva. You know by heart. You don't realize that's what you're talking about. That's what you bring on Rosh Chodesh. And then on Chag HaMatzot, you bring a Korban Musaf. On Shavuot, on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, that's all in Parshat Pinchas. That's the Gabbai's guide for the Korban Musaf. You quote from it, whenever we land on Yom Tov, Mafter is always from there. Down the line. Or the entire landing from there. What do we left with? So, then in Parshat Emor, we have what's called the Moadim. Remember Moadei Hashem? We put the last line for Kiddush. Remember Vayedaber Moshe et Moadei Hashem el Bnei Yisrael? There also we have the Shalosh Regalim and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and that's it. So Rosh Hashanah basically is the least mentioned holiday. It's really short. In fact, it's never even called Rosh Hashanah. You know what it's called? It's never called Rosh Hashanah. It's called Yom Teruah. Remember Yom Teruah Yelechem? And then there's later it's called a Zichron Teruah. If we have time, we'll talk about it. It's barely mentioned, but I want to explain today, it's the most mentioned holiday in the Bible. You follow? It's the least mentioned and the most mentioned, and that's the goal of today's year, to try to understand why. Why it's the least mentioned, I prove to you. You can check it out later on. It's the least mentioned, and it's never even mentioned by its name. And whose New Year is it? Is it a Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah? Do you ever get Rosh Hashanah cards? They don't have those anymore. Everyone gets emails or invites. Whose New Year is it? Is it Am Yisrael's New Year or for all mankind? If you know your Mishnayos, if you were mean to a friend about 3-4 days ago, you would wish them a Happy New Year. Who can explain what I just did? If you wanted to be mean to a friend, you wanted to sort of give him a stuff, and you knew your Mishnayos, who would you wish? Yeah, because Rosh Hashanah for, the second Rosh Hashanah begins, this Rosh Hashanah for animals is when? Rosh Chodesh Elul. So a Talmid Chacham joke would be to wish somebody a Happy New Year on Rosh Chodesh Elul. And if he copped it, he'd smile and punch you. Okay. Why do animals need a Rosh Hashanah? Do trees have a Rosh Hashanah? Oh yeah, they do also. What's going on? So who's Rosh Hashanah? By the way, you know why animals need Rosh Hashanahs? They don't need. There's a mitzvah that every 10 animals you own, one goes to God. You heard that somewhere? Now, when do you start notching? When do you start counting every 10? When does the year end for Maaseh Behemah? So the cutoff date is Rosh Chodesh Elul, because this time of year after Rosh Chodesh Elul, that's when they begin having babies. They mate in the spring and they have kids in the fall. It's a 5-month thing. You'll learn that in biology. But the cutoff date, the same thing. Why do we need a new year for trees? Remember Orla every 3 years? What's the cutoff date for counting the tree year? The middle of the winter, which is Tu B'Shvat. You follow? Or Rosh Chodesh Shvat if you have like the Shammai thing. But whose new year is it? Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. All mankind or just Am Yisrael? You ever think about that? You afraid to? Yeah? Yeah? So for kings, so how about normal people? Everyone not Jewish goes by what? By Tishrei. And what's our new year? Remember that Machloket? Is it Nisan? Is it because of creation? Is Rosh Hashanah a new year for all mankind, or just for us? Or only for them? If it's only theirs, then why do we spend 2 days in Shul? So I want to try to explain what Rosh Hashanah is about. What I want to do to explain what Rosh Hashanah is about, all we need to do is read Shmoneh Esrei. Remember Shmoneh Esrei? There's the three brachot in the beginning and end, that's a standard. On Yom Tov, there's a special bracha for Rosh Hashanah. Remember it? It gives with that the brachatano. In fact, that's common to all the holidays. But each holiday has a special chatima. Anyone know what happens on Rosh Hashanah? The Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu? I'll say something nice and slow and tell me if it rings a bell. I won't do chazanas. Elokeinu, just tell me if it rings a bell. Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu, that you know. Meloch akol ha'olam kulo v'chodecha. Ring a bell? Yeah. We'll have to sing it. Remember, Meloch, usually the Chazanus, picks up there. Meloch akol ha'olam kulo v'chodecha, what's that mean? Rule over Am Yisrael or what? Kol ha'olam v'chodecha. V'hinasei akol ha'aretz v'charecha, what's that mean? V'hinasei? What's that? Akola aretz bikarecha. Not aretz b'nei kiva. Aretz meaning the globe. Yikar. How dear, how great you are. Hofa b'hadar gonu zeha. What's that means? Lohofia. Hofa with an iron. Hofa'a. In modern Hebrew is a play. Hofa b'hadar gonu zeha. You should appear with all your greatness. I'll call you Shveta Valasecha. Is that universal or particular? If you pay attention to this one, Esra. Big time, isn't it? What are we hoping for there? Ring a bell? What's that mean? Every living thing, everything is moved to know that what's the reason why he moves? Because of God. Now finish it for me. Okay, now it's ringing a bell. Yomar kosher neshama b'yapol. Everyone with a neshama. Every human being has a neshama. Yomar kosher neshama b'yapol. Listen carefully. Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech. What's that mean? Hashem, who's who? Who's the God of Israel as king. U'machbuto b'kol mashallah. And this kingdom is everywhere. Then kasheni b'nitzvatecha b'chule. There's a whole concept of what's called, we call it davening mafiyot. All year long, what do we say in the third bracha? We say Akela Kadosh. And on, what do we do on the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah? HaMelech, what's going on? If God is king, he should be king all year long. What's happening? What are we talking about in Rosh Hashanah davening? What does it mean that God becomes king? In general, what makes somebody a king? Back in the good old days before we came up with these democracies. What? Someone with absolute power. But what makes a king a king? That's what he needs. But let's say someone has absolute power. Does that make him a king? Let's say there's a country and someone's got absolute power. Does that make him king? Explain? So let's say, but with the first one. Let's say a guy has all the power. Let's say he wasn't. Let's say his father was a shlum. But all of a sudden, suddenly he got all the power.
He's anointed
by
the royal.
By who?
The royal people.
There's something real basic to become a king.
What you need?
Yeah? The people have to what? The people have to recognize you. If no one knows you, by definition of the word king means you're sovereign and people recognize your sovereignty. You can be the most powerful person, but if no one realizes that you're there, you're not king. The word in Hebrew means love. To become king, that's why the king has to be anointed. If you know the stories in Tanakh, whenever there's a king, what's always necessary? Remember a little bit in Sefer Shmuel when you were little kids? And before learning Chumash before Tanakh wasn't Bitul Torah. Remember the story about Shaul? Was he anointed? When he was anointed, did that make him king? Who anointed him? Shmuel anointed him. He was anointed, that didn't make him king, did it? That made him worthy to become king. But what happens? First they have a couple stories, and then he's called, then there's this big gathering that Shmuel makes, and then he's appointed king. And then is he accepted by everybody? The cynics were against him. Finally he went to battle and had a really great victory. And then what Shmuel do? Let's do it again, and then everyone accepts him. When David is anointed by Shmuel later on, does that make him king? Why? He does it secretly. But it makes him... It gives him the ability to become king. What's going to make him king? Only when all the tribes get together in Hebron and accept him, then he's king. Understand? To become king, you have to be accepted and recognized by your subjects. By definition. That's not something like saying that God can't make a triangle into a square. You know that whole philosophical thing? That's because what's the definition that we make of it? A square or a circle? By definition, a king is someone who's recognized by his subjects. You can always have El meet someone with power. God is always at El HaKadosh. What's going to make him king on Rosh Hashanah? You understand now? He's being recognized by mankind. Who's going to be the first nation to wave that flag and blow the trumpet? Who's going to come and coronate him? We're first in line. Understand what we're doing now in Rosh Hashanah? It's not the entire holiday, but it's part of the holiday. But I want to explain to you how it fits into the whole theme of... There's a theme in Tanakh. But listen to what we said again. V'yomar ko Hashem neshama v'yapo. Who's the king? Who says God was king? Hashem Elokei Yisrael. What's that mean? Hashem, who is the God of Israel. We talk about this every day in Shvila. Remember when you say Shema every day? Everyone knows Shema Bahar. Shema Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. How many statements is that? Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. How many statements is that? Last count, what? Two. What's the first statement? Hashem Elokeinu, which means Hashem is our God. What's the next statement? Hashem Echad, which means He's the only God. Whatever that you... Is there a contradiction between those two statements? First we say He's our God, and then we say He's everyone's God. He's the only God. If He's the only God of all mankind, does that make Him our God? How could He say He's our God and then He's everyone's God? So just say He's everyone's God. What? You understand my question? You say it every day. Chazal solved the problem, but let me explain first what you read in sometimes in English. What's the reason why we say Shema every day? What's the classic reason they give? Don't be afraid. What do we need to do every day? What? Tell me in English. What do we need to do every day? Okay, that's the right answer. I want the wrong answer. Don't we have to declare faith in God every day? Has anyone ever been taught that saying Shema is a statement of monotheism? Who heard that from somewhere? That you have to accept the existence of God? It's a classic misunderstanding of the Rambam. I mean, that's true that we have to accept God. That's not what Shema is. Shema is not a statement that you believe in monotheism. Shema is not a statement that I'm a monotheist. It assumes monotheism. What's it a statement of? Hashem Echad implies monotheism. Hashem Elokeinu means it's one statement. You have to do what Rashi does to it, add a little shit. Rashi explains, Hashem Shehu Elokeinu. Hashem who is our boss. Who is that? The God who we're working for. The God whose mitzvot we're keeping. Who is He? He's not our God. Whose God is He? He's our boss. What God is He? He's the God of all mankind. Listen how simple it is, but how complicated it is. What does Chazal call saying Shema? Someone said it in English, now tell me in Hebrew. Kabbalat O Machut Shamayim. That doesn't mean a statement of monotheism. What's an O? An O is a yoke. Who is a yoke? A cow. Why does a cow wear a yoke? Not for beauty. So that the farmer can use the ox to plow the field. Who's the farmer? If we're wearing the yoke, who's the farmer? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are we doing? We're willingly accepting the fact that we're working for God. How do we work for God? In what way do we work for God? We keep His mitzvot. But what do we gain by doing that? By keeping His mitzvot, what's our... I'm not saying it's not the only purpose, but it's a biblical purpose. It's in Tanakh over the place. If we keep His mitzvot and keep it properly, what good will that bring mankind? We're hoping that through our actions and our mitzvot, the rest of mankind will recognize God. And that's all through Tzila and Rosh Hashanah. And we're going to see it's a theme all through Tanakh, cover to cover. But it gets a little complex. Let me explain the sort of the master plan. And we'll try to see, and we're going to be studying this mostly this year. This year, the topic, every year we rotate. When you're Chumash, because too many guys here stay Shana Bet. The problem here, we have a good yeshiva. People stay too long. It's good. So if you do the same shit every year, so we do 1 year Chumash, 1 year Navi. Last year we did Chumash, this year we'll do Navi. But today's year is simply an introduction, because you don't have Levim yet. Without a book, you can't learn too much, unless you're at a seminar. What are we doing? I was explaining something. Oh, Kabbalat Omachut Shemaim. Listen. What we're saying when we say Shema is something very simple. The God who is our boss, the God who we're working for, his mitzvot, He's the God of all mankind. Now, let me explain how simple it is, because you do this every day. Before you say Shema every day, in the morning, there's a prerequisite. What do you need to do before saying Shema? In davening. What? No, wait, that's way beforehand. It's what's called Brichat Kriyat Shema. Correct? How many are there beforehand? Two. What's the topic of the first bracha?
You'll see how simple it is.
The topic. How can you, the topic of a bracha is just go right to either the opening line or the closing line. That's what's called the chatima. What's the chatima? Yotzer hama'orot. Right out of Chumash. Right out of the first paragraph. Right out of chapter 1. Right out of the creation. What's the opening line of the bracha? Yotzer or borechoshech. Oseh shalom v'vrei tako. Remember that? What's the topic of that bracha? In a nutshell. There's, if I take what you call two statements beforehand, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, what bracha is that talking about? What concept is that bracha talking about? That God created everything. That's Hashem Echad. If I'm looking for somewhere in davening where I make a statement of monotheism, that's Yetzer HaMorot. There's an Indian, there's an, you know what that means. There's an Indian to talk about God and to state your belief in God. And that is Yotzer HaMorot. And we do it beautifully. In fact, we add some poetry. There's all these beautiful few demons inside. And we throw Kedusha in there. Remember that thing? But pay attention to Yotzer HaMorot. We're simply praising God and saying over and over again, He's the creator of everything. There's not a sun god and a moon god and an earth god and all these different gods. It's all one God. He made everything. Even though common sense would tell you otherwise. But what seems to be many powers is one power. What's the topic of the second bracha? What's the topic of the second bracha? What's the chatima? The topic is in Torah. Torah is a key theme inside of it. Habocher b'ama Yisrael b'hava. It's about chosenness. What about chosenness? We're thanking God for choosing us to work for Him. Now, how do we work for God? Let's say we accept the yoke of heaven on us. We say, I want to work for my boss. I want to work. I want the job. Now what I need to know? Two things. What do I need to do and how much am I getting paid? Does that come up in Chumash? What comes first? Sure, it comes up in Chumash. How much am I getting paid? And Shema Tishmu, Mil Tishmu, but that's not at Har Sinai, it's later on. That's not the reason, but it's important. It's a motivator. But the real point is, I'm accepting God, I'm working for God. What do I need to do? How do I know what I need to do to serve God? What guide did God give us to know how to serve Him? That's Torah. Therefore, what do we say in Abba Rabba? Remember, Avinu Avar Chaban Rachim Rachim Aleinu V'Tein B'Libeinu Bina? Lahavin, Laskil, Lishmo, Lamod, Lamed, that's what you guys do all day long now. At least for a year or two. You're asking God to help you be efficient in your Torah study. That should be fruitful. Give us the ability to understand, I want to work for you, and I'm recognizing I'm chosen to work for you, and my guide to work for you is the Torah. Give me guidance, give me the ability to understand your Torah properly. That's why I picked the topic for, because that's what your year's about. That's Brichat HaTorah. But if I go back to Kabbalat HaMalchut Shemayim, what phrase is the second bracha referring to? Hashem Elokeinu or Hashem Echad? If Hashem Elokeinu means Hashem is our boss, then the bracha of Abba Rabba is recognizing that He's our boss. And what did God give us to tell us how to serve Him? The Torah. It's what you say every single day. And then you introduce it saying, why did God do this? Out of love. He didn't choose us because He needs someone to love. It was out of love He chose us over anybody else. There were a lot of nations He could have chosen. He picked us. Out of love He picked us over any other nation. And we think, and therefore we're commanded to love Him. Remember, Vachtat Hashem Elokecha. So the two brachot introduce like a Hini Mukhana Musliman. You're about to say Kabbalat Omachut Shemayim. You're about to say, as a Jew, when I get up and when I go to bed, no, it's 24/7, what am I about? I'm accepting and willing to serve God with all my heart, etc. Who's this God that I'm serving? The God that I'm serving is the God of all mankind. He's Hashem Echad. But He's my boss, means I have a special relationship with Him. But the goal of that relationship is because God needs a nation to represent Him. And if Am Yisrael does a good job of representing God, then hopefully that'll bring what's called tikkun, or that'll make mankind a better place. Let's say we keep all God's mitzvot so perfectly. How is anyone going to find out about it? How is anyone going to know that we're keeping God's mitzvot? What? But who's going to see us? If we're living in an island in the middle of nowhere, how's that going to help? So there's a little plan in Chumash. It's called the Land of Israel. You've heard of it? You just arrived, some of you, a week or so ago. What did God tell Avraham Avinu? I want a nation. God picks Avraham Avinu to be the forefather of the nation. He plants the seeds. He also says, I'm giving you a land. And where's that land going to be located? God sets aside a land, a special land, and puts it smack in the middle of the Middle East. Remember you learned in world history way, way back when you used to go to school? Remember Mesopotamia and Egypt, the two centers of civilization? Where's the land of Israel? Smack in the middle. From a marketing point of view, you see what we gain? If I even go back a step, how am I going to make sure that this idea of making a name for God on a national level, how am I going to make sure this is going to be something eternal? I want to make sure that this idea is something eternal, because throughout the history of mankind, I need the concept of God being infiltrated into society, into all society. What type of, I need a nation that will be there forever. You ever heard of the concept of Netzach Yisrael? Remember the Maharal's got a book on it? It's called Netzach. What is God going to do to make sure that there's always going to be a nation there to represent Him? What? But who does He give the Torah to? To an individual or to a nation? First He plants the seed of a nation. What book is that about? About planting the seeds of the nation. That's Sefer Bereshit. And then they have to become a nation. Where do we become a nation? That's in Egypt. It's called Kor Barzel. That's the melting of it. They become a nation. We form, we get our national identity. That's called Brit Ben Abtarim. We come out of Egypt. There's a whole holiday about that. Pesach time. We become a nation, and then what happens? Before we get to the land of Israel, first we have to enter a covenant, which we call Mamad Har Sinai. Second holiday, Shavuot. You follow? And now this nation, what's going to be the purpose? Remember Brit Sinai, Batem Tuli? Mamlechet Koni V'Goy Kadosh. You'll be a nation representing me. In order to be that nation, what do we need to know? We need to know how to act. But before we get any laws of how to act, what do we have to say first? What do we have to accept first? Kabbalat Oma Chut Shemaim, what we call Brit Sinai. What you guys call Nasa V'Nishma. What does God say? Im Shemot Yishmu V'Koli U'Shmartem Et Briti Mitim Nisikula Mikol Amim V'Atem Tiuli Mamlechet Konim V'Goy Kadosh. You all know that phrase, don't you? Mamlechet Konim V'Goy Kadosh. What is it, within Am Yisrael, what does the Kohen do? Within the 12 tribes, what's Shevet Levi's job? In general, what's the job of a Kohen? But not just, he's not just serving God, he's the liaison between God and the other Shvatim. I have 12 tribes. God separates one of them, gives them a special status, and what's the job of that tribe? To connect the people to God. Therefore, last week, Yom Mishpatech Yaakov Betor Tchad Yisrael. Oh no, that's coming up. Kipalei Mimcha Davar Demishpat Ben Dam Ladam. And Bekapta Velita Malkom Hashem. And who do you go to? Bata El HaKohanim HaLevim Hashem Ben. The job of the Kohanim and Levim is not just to bring Korbanot. There's a liaison between God and the people. That's what's called in Chumash Kedusha. You've heard of Kedusha. It's called Kedushat Adam. But take the same analogy. Just like God separates one nation, I'm sorry, just like God separates one tribe, gives them a special status, and uses them to teach other folks how to be God's people. Take the same analogy one step farther. What does God do? In Chumash as a whole, He takes one nation out of 70. What's He do with them? Gives them a special status. That's Am Yisrael being chosen. And we call that Kedushat. That's a Goy Kadosh. But what's the purpose of that chosenness? God has a master plan that through our keeping the mitzvot, they'll bring what we call Aleinu L'Takel Olam Malchut Shaddai. And now, that doesn't mean everyone needs to be Jewish. That's what's cool about Judaism. It's not a religion for all mankind. By definition, it's not. It's like every day being, like what happens in Shabbat. God takes one day of the week, gives it a special status, but through Shabbat becomes a funnel to bring godliness to the rest of the week. Whenever I separate something and give it a special status, It's for the sake of bringing Kedusha to the whole group that I took it out from. But Shabbat always remains special. So Am Yisrael is designated, separated, given Kedusha, but that Kedusha has a purpose to represent God. Now, that's on the big picture. That's a big, big theme in Chumash. When it comes down to day-to-day, what do we need to do? We need to know how to learn Torah, how to represent God properly. But the guide for representing God properly is Torah. But it's not just Torah Shemichtav. How do we interpret all the things? It gets complicated. So deal with Torah Shemichtav, we have Torah Shemapeh. And then what do we do in every single case? Then we have what's called Talmud, Mishnah, Talmud, the whole thing you spend your whole time doing. In general, what you're doing is you're learning how to serve God properly. But understand what's behind it, Kabbalah, Tomah, Chumash is basic. But I want to show you in Tefillah, we have these ideas all the time. Now, if you follow, again, we're not doing Chumash this year, but in Chumash we have the topic of God choosing a nation, planting the seeds, and the background why he needs to choose his nation. Remember how God's upset with mankind beforehand? They fail, Cain and Hevel fail. I mean, Adam and Rishon fails, Cain and Hevel. The door of the flood fails. Dor HaFlagah, the builders of the Tower of Babel, they fail. Mankind keeps failing, and then God says, let's change something. And to fix things, God brings in, chooses a nation with a long, eternal goal. So if I go back to Shema, and that idea of Kabbalat HaMalchut Shemaim, there's a goal. There's a goal that God wants man to recognize him. And recognizing God is not something intellectual. Recognizing God is something behavioral. The assumption is that if you have a human being and recognizes there's one God and there's a purpose in creation, it's not just something he has to know like Aristotle, to know, you know, all these philosophical proofs that God exists. In Chumash, knowing God is behavioral. Not, it's if I know God and I recognize that he made me, that I'm created because of him, and there's a God of creation, because of him I exist, and he has expectations for me, then my behavior will be better. I won't sin, I won't murder, I won't kill, I won't steal, etc. That's what we call Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. God separates one nation, makes them special, and this nation, what do they do? We don't stop talking about God. Give me examples in Judaism, day-to-day life, that we don't stop talking about God. Besides, I gave something a little Zionistic about we have a special nation, but everywhere, even in exile. In what way do we, when do we talk about God all the time? What? Well, every time you eat something, you make a bracha. Any other time we talk about God? Where? When we, Asher Yatzar, when you come out, happens Baruch Hashem a lot of times during the day. But when else is it, that's as an individual. When do we talk about God on a national level? What do you mean? Say that word again? How would you translate tefillah in English? There's prayer. But we're in prayer. Do we talk about God anywhere in what we call tefillah? It's what, you're right, it's prayer, but in Hebrew the word is not tefillah, but it's called davening, it's called tehillah. Like tehillah de David? There's tefillah, there's tehillah. Tefillah is when we turn to God and ask for our needs. What's tehillah? We praise God. Is there anywhere in what we call davening where we praise God and talk about how great he is? Anywhere, somewhere in the Siddur, we talk about how great God is? Pretty much Pesukei Zimra, that's right. Pesukei Zimra. From where to where in Pesukei Zimra? From beginning to end. Baruch Shamar, Baruch Hu, Melech, that's Baruch Shamar, isn't it? And how about the end of it? Yishtabach Shem Chalad Malkeinu, Melech Mu'ulah Batish Bachot. You don't pray for anything there, do you? That's a big chunk of davening, isn't it? It's all about, now, we do that not just as individuals, we do it as a group. And that's why you need a minion. But you do it, if you do that for every generation, every community, everywhere, that gets a point of, that's entrenched in Am Yisrael. Anywhere else in davening, what else? That's one big section of davening, isn't it? Pesukei Dezimra. What's the next big section of davening? After Pesukei Dezimra. You call it Shema and what? No, Shema and it's Brachot. No, first step is Pesukei Dezimra, big shot. Next is Shema and it's Brachot, before and after. Is Shema asking for our needs? What's Shema about? What's the topic of Shema? Kabbalat Amachut Shemaim. We're not asking for our needs. We're asking God. The only thing we're asking for is help us understand your Torah better. Help us help you. I call these three parts of davening the three P's. Remember, the first psukei zimmer is praise. Shema, and the brachot is called pledge of allegiance. Make sense? But Chazal called kabbalat malchut shemayim, you would call nowadays a pledge of allegiance, because you're pledging allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The bracha before I get you ready to say Shema, and then you say Shema itself. It's not just a pledge of allegiance, it's also a whole attitude. And then you do it for the right reason, Bafta, and the second reason we bring you even Schar Ba'onesh. Pasha Tzitzit, we'll explain one day, it's really neat. What if it's there. And then Gula, we'll talk about, we don't have enough time, but it all fits in. What's the third P? What section is that going to be? I will call the whole thing prayer just for the sake of davening. We'll call that petition. Easy to remember? Praise, pledge of allegiance, petition. And in Shmonesa, who are we davening for? So in the beginning, before we start asking for our own needs, what do we do first? Again, we praise Him. Remember Avot? And we finish, and we ask our needs, and mostly it's national needs. The needs of ours, and the needs that we're hoping for redemption. That God will help us as a nation. But we're not davening so God will help us. We're davening to God that He helps us so that we can help Him. Pay attention to what we say. Give us health so that we can serve You. Give us prosperity so we can serve You. If we have a famine, how can we serve You? If we're at war and people hate us, how can we serve You? So we ask God to help us so we can help Him. And then we thank God for what? What do we do in the last one? We don't thank God for hand, we thank God for listening. This whole idea of making disreputation for God, that's the word shame. I'll give you a better example. What's the most common tefillah? What's the most common prayer in the Siddur? What prayer comes up more often than any other prayer? The most, if you know fancy words in English, is the most ubiquitous. Never heard that word. What? Enki Aleinu? Aleinu, there's something more than Aleinu. Ashrei, a little more than Ashrei. Kaddish? Yeah, Kaddish, you're right. How many times does Kaddish come in? Kaddish, how many times do you have Kaddish? It's everywhere. You don't need, most of you don't even notice it. It's so often. It's the most common. It's everywhere, isn't it? More than Shema, more than anything. But only with the Tzibur. What's the main line of Kaddish? What's the highlight? If you learn Masechet Brachos, you know it. Everyone got the third Daf Gimel? Yeah? Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach. Now, how do you translate that? Is Rabbah, I'll get you guys mixed up. Is it Yehei Shmei Rabbah? Or Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach? Who learned Masechet Brachot? Never learned that? What? Tosfos Daf Gimel. Is it Yehei Shmei Rabbah or Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach? What is it? You say it every day. I call that difference between Kavana. Everyone knows you have to say that with Kavana, right? Most people think Kavana means I have to mechavi to get my star. Remember, because if you say it with Kavana, you get all these promises. There's Kavana and there's Havana. Havana? Understanding. Kavana means to understand what you're saying. But what are you hoping? Anyway, is that a prayer? Is Kaddish a prayer? Or is it praise? What? Yehesh, are we expressing our hope? Are we asking for something? Are we saying something? Are we saying God's great? Are we saying our hopes? It's a prayer. But who are we praying for? We're not praying for us. What are we praying for? We're praying for God. And what are we praying about? That His name, His reputation should be what? We're not praying for God, we're praying for His reputation. His reputation should be what? Should be great and... I mean, His great reputation, His great name should be blessed and sanctified, etc. What's the proof? How do we introduce that public statement? What do we say in the beginning? Yitkadel v'yitkadei Shmei Rabbah. You've heard that before, haven't you? Is that a prayer? That's a hope. It's an expression of hope. But who are we praying for? We're praying that God should be successful. And what? When should this happen? Only in the future or even now? Where do we want God's name to be great? Ba'alma, you know the Aramaic? He brought you in the land, in which robe that He created? As He wanted. V'amlich ma'chutei, ring a bell? V'yetzmat, remember that? V'yetzmat. And when should this happen? V'chayichon, you know what that means? In our own lifetime? V'chayichon, Beit Yisrael? sooner the better, but that'll be contrary. And then everyone answers. It's simple, it's simple. I'm trying, what's my goal? There's things you say every single day, Shema, Kaddish, everywhere you turn. And that theme of God becoming king is the biggest theme in Chumash and Navi. It's everywhere. It's so there that we take it for granted. The idea behind it, and that's what Rosh Hashanah is about. Because Rosh Hashanah we dedicate one time of the year, and that's all we talk about. About God being... Now, how do we make God king? How do we make God king? First, we talk about Him. But talking about Him isn't enough. You know why? Let's say we talk about God all day long. But let's say we gather together three times a day, we didn't stop talking about God and praising Him and giving our hopes His name would be great. But when we left shul, what did we do? We were starting Ponzi schemes, and we're known in the world as robbers and crooks and schemers, and we're haughty and we're obnoxious, and we're not nice to one another, and we think we're... You follow? If that's the way the Jewish people are acting, and we talk about God at the same time, is that going to get the job done? What do we call that in Hebrew? Or in Yiddish? Or even in English? That's called a Chilul Hashem, which is like the worst thing possible. What happens when the Jewish people act beautifully, are kind and just and upright and chesed and tzedek and mishpat, etc., and they talk, that's what's called Kiddush Hashem. That's called a win-win. The ideas are real simple. Now, how do we know how to act? Where's our guide? How do we have to act? Kiddushim to you, remember? That's half of Chumash is how we need to act. And we have got, it's not so easy. Remember, lo tenech recha b'amecha, tamod adam recha, all that stuff in Parshat Kiddushim? There's lots of laws that are core values of how we act. Not just as individuals, how do we act as a nation? How do we go to war? How do our political leaders have that? There's a whole book about that called Sefer Dvarim. I've been reading it the last couple of weeks. Our judicial system, remember? Shoftim v'shotrim b'chol sharecha, tzedek tzedek tzedok. How we go to war. Our society, our laws in the marketplace. We'll read tons about them in this week's Parsha. All kinds of laws. But if we only keep the laws and didn't talk about God, no one, people would know, hey, we're a good nation, but not why. If we only talked about God and didn't keep His laws, it would be counterproductive. What's the win-win? You need to talk about God all the time. You need to remind yourself your need. And your understanding. How do we remind ourselves every day that we're representing God as individuals and as a nation? How do we do that? On a daily basis. That's Shema. That's Kabbalat HaMalchut Shamayim. How do we talk about God? How do we don't forget God day and night? We can make brachot everything we eat. We say Pesukei Zimra, etc. We say Aleinu L'Shabeach at the end. All those things we do. That's our hope. Remember, Alkeinu Kavelecha Hashem Elokeinu? V'kol b'nei v'asar yikru v'shmecha. That'll get all wicked people to be good. Now, sometimes you lose, you don't see the forest because of the trees. But I want to introduce it. That's, if you pay attention to Rosh Hashanah davening, that's the main thing. That's Machiot, isn't it? Machiot is about the God. In fact, remember in Machiot, every pasuk you quote is from has the word Melech in it. You know Shema Yisrael on Rosh Hashanah. Remember, they have three. You have to quote. What's the last pasuk from Machiot? Because we run every word should have Melech in it. What's the last pasuk from Machiot? Remember that Shema Yisrael is the last pasuk of Machiot. Where does that come with that from? They're right on the mark, aren't they? Because Kabbalat Omochot Shemaim is the pasuk of Machiot. We have to finish up, but let me summarize. What I try to get across is on the one hand, Rosh Hashanah seems to be this strange holiday with no logic, no reason to it. You blow a shofar, Yom Teruah, it seems very strange. But when you look at the content of davening and Tefillah and Rosh Hashanah, and you see how it's connected to Tefillah all year long, and the idea that our goal as a nation is to make God king, but we don't do it by just screaming. It's not if you scream that all day long. Sometimes it's overkill. 10 days a year, fine. The main way we do it is by following God's laws. And by doing it not just as individuals, as a nation. And to be eternal, you have to have a covenant called Brit Sinan. It's a big deal. The main way we do it is by learning Torah. And you're going to spend a whole year learning Torah inside out, etc., and being dedicated Yomam V'Laila. It's important. But we have to remember that behind all that learning, there's a goal. And it's very easy, like the Ramban says, you can easily be a Nabal B'Shut HaTorah. If you can keep every single law, but still be a total bum and do a terrible Chilul Hashem. So behind your learning, now the only way to learn is to learn. And that's Baruch Hashem. You guys are young, you have a whole year ahead of you. What I will try to do it this year in class is we're going to see, we'll do mostly Navi. We'll do the introduction to Navi now, and then we'll start doing Yeshua. So if we want to cover Navi Mishonim this year, if you can bring Tanakh starting next week. If you have a Tanakh, bring one. Try to bring one if you can. We'll focus on the holidays. We'll focus on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur in Elul, and then after Elul, we'll start with the stories in Tanakh. We'll learn Yeshua. I'm assuming you know the stories. We're going to deal with what the books are about and what themes are there. And we're going to see that the same thing is going to be the main theme that explains almost all the stories in Torah. How to become a nation representing God. Whose job is going to be to make sure that the nation goes in the right direction and doesn't fail? Who's going to make sure that we actually do a Kiddush Hashem? That we become a nation representing God and not representing ourselves? Who's going to make sure that we keep together and don't fall apart? That's going to be the job of the Navi. And that's why God sends us in the being. And at least these are the books of the Navi, so we have a guide for future generations as well. Okay, you guys have a sikha you have to go to right away. We'll stop here, but anyway, a bracha on all your learning. That's your thing.